Welcome to the award-winning Disrupt Education Podcast, a podcast that explores the latest innovations and trends in the world of education. I'm your host, Peter Hostrasser, along with Allie Privet.
We're both educators. Okay, one of us is a former educator, and we were tired of the status quo and wanted to create a space where we could have conversations that aren't always in the public eye. Join us as we talk to other disruptors, educators, researchers, and thought leaders who are pushing the boundaries and challenging the way we were taught.
We're thrilled you're here to be part of a not-so-underground movement to disrupt and amplify the good pieces in education. Whether you're a teacher, a parent, or a lifelong learner, there's a story for everyone on Disrupt Education. We're here each week to bring you stories from all over the globe of people doing education differently.
So buckle your seatbelt, get on the disruptor plane as we climb to altitude before letting this episode free fall straight to your ears.
Hey, it's Peter Hostrasser here. And hey, I want to tell you something about how I am actually disrupting education. Yeah, I'm moving forward with portfolios on spikeview.com. If you head over to spikeview.com, basically what we're teaching our students to do is actually to create a skills-based portfolio around their interests, their passions, and what they're good at. It's called the strength-based approach. So basically what we do is we build up our students and have them understand what they're good at and what they're interested in by the time they leave our high school. But it doesn't stop there. It's a K through gray. So if you want your students to continue to build their strengths in this day and age where resumes are dying, and to show more and more about who they are, what they do, and they actually control all the data behind it, guess what? SpikeView is the place for you. Head over to spikeview.com, check it out. Let me know if you need anything, because I tell you what, I have used this with my own family and my students. Check out spikeview.com today. Hey, welcome back to the Disrupt Education Podcast. Peter Hostrasser, Allie Privet. I'm pointing at you there. See, that's kind of cool.
I don't know what side you'll be on.
Yeah, I think it comes out on the record that way. I don't know. We'll see. So everybody's like, where is he pointing? I don't know. I'm pointing at my dog behind me. We wanted to recap Patrick Kowalczyk's podcast that we had last week. Amazing young man. That's why I kind of like, dude, do you want to jump in on the podcast and just talk? Where do you want to begin with that one? Because it's amazing to hear.
I think a good starting point is the energy that you get from that age group, high schoolers, college students. It's palpable. It's palpable on Patrick's episode. And what really struck me throughout the whole time, and this is for anyone listening to the Disrupt Education podcast, if you're a student, an educator, you're in higher education, you're an admin, you're a parent, okay? This was the big spark for Patrick, is that he found his purpose and that guided his learning, his journey, and he was done checking the box. And the big takeaway from that whole episode is, like, if you find yourself in a check the box situation, and I don't care where you are at in your life, you have not yet found your purpose. Because I really was thinking about this when he was talking, is that when you have a perspective that is, and a purpose that is bigger than yourself, for Patrick, it is working in the nursing home. And it doesn't have to be this, like, big grand, you know, like, I traveled the world, or, you know, I jet-setted somewhere, or I, like, landed this big fancy thing. You know, it can just be serving people, and that gives you purpose and fulfillment, and it drives everything else. And he's so lucky to have found that rhythm at the age that he did. But, like, I don't know, it just really kind of, it's something that, like, I went through and have done multiple times, and that kind of refining your purpose or finding it for the first time, like, you're just alive in a different way. And that You can just feel that energy coming off of Patrick in that episode.
I was lucky enough to feel that energy for about a year and a half. Because in our internship course, which we were lucky to have, I mean, it's a growing course. It's a great course. And if anybody out there wants to talk about it, let's connect, because we've grown our courses from 2 to 6 so far. We're scaring the education system a little bit because students want that, right? They want that experience, and then they want to start to connect. You know, what Patrick brought were those stories, like I mentioned before, of, you know, the elderly people who have lived through things. I mean, you know, there were some, you know, I remember some of the stories about the people that the residents met, you know, who are historic figures. There was wars that they went through, you know, Desert Storm, like pre-1990s when we were growing up. So it was really interesting to hear those stories as well. But also, you know, I think in that other area where he was talking about, you know, the experiencing and challenging yourself in classes, something did happen last year when we did the mock interviews. We had students just bail on it. Like, they were still scared to actually take that quick, small step. And I think that's something that we need to, you know, especially me and my own reflection, is try to figure out. That's why I love talking to students. You know, how do I, because once you get to that other side, like you said, once you get to that awareness and all like bets are off, all your shields are down, and you feel, okay, I can do this, or okay, I didn't do it, but here's why. I mean, it does make such a change. I mean, I always go, I try to go back and I'll ask you, like, that first time you're hanging on the strut of the airplane, like, what you know, what was that like? You know, it's kind of the same thing. You hurdled. To me, that's a huge hurdle, but like, you hurdled like a small, something very small. I don't know, like, you know, can you describe that feeling, even going back in your own, like, history of jumping?
I mean,
you remember it?
That, oh yes, I very much remember it. I remember looking over and thinking, that's it, I'm gonna die. For me, that particular journey, I know I've talked about this. I don't know if I've talked about it on the podcast. The overcoming the fears of skydiving and getting my license in the early jumps, I really didn't enjoy it. I did not enjoy it. I was deathly afraid. I mean, every single time, I mean, shaking. It's interesting because the people, you know, who are now my friends and fellow jumpers, they don't remember and recall me being this super terrified, you know, deer in headlights student. I guess I masked it well enough, but it's interesting. At some point somewhere around jump 10 to 15, I couldn't pinpoint it exactly, I really started to love it. And I found a purpose in it. And it was this overcoming, I mean, the fear, still overcoming the fear. I mean, you're hurting yourself at the ground.
Right.
Every time I still get, I mean, I don't, the like pumping adrenaline doesn't come anymore. For the most part. Some jumps, you know, I don't know why you still kind of get that that bubble, but it's, I knew going into it though that like I did have a goal, like it was to get my license. So there was purpose behind every jump, even though I was afraid of it. But your question and tying it in with Patrick, you know, I think sometimes students don't always know like how they only know the educational system that they've been through. But what I could hear in Patrick's discussion of the educational system is that, right, like when he found purpose, and that purpose didn't necessarily come from school, right? It came from a job.
Right.
But it then gave him kind of a placeholder to kind of work towards his goals of and finding a passion that could kind of amplify that. And right, going, now he's going to go into physical therapy. And the work that you do in your entrepreneurship classes, which it seems like is mostly juniors and seniors, it needs to be flipped. Like if we want students to connect to school in these core classes, right? And Patrick did a great job of being like, it's Groundhog's Day at school. We just
Right.
take notes
Yep.
and we study for the test at the end of the week, and it's the same thing every day. Now, I don't think that's truly the case, but it can be for some classes. I mean, I remember taking classes like that, and I know that there are teachers out there that do that, for whatever reason. And this idea of a course that is disruptive, and it is like you don't know what you're walking into, and it's going to challenge you, and you're going to have to quote unquote suck it up, buttercup, or whatever words you use, Peter, you know. But I just think how beneficial that type of course that is not linked to standards or outcomes in the traditional state and federal models would actually help people find a passion and a purpose that would then drive all of the rest of the coursework. And we've talked about this many times with many guests, but Patrick was basically saying that without saying it. It's like if the model of school had been flipped, I think he would have found that purpose even earlier
Right.
than he did. And it's you know, I think it's a cautionary tale of like schools just doing what they've always done because it quote unquote works. And it's like, how many are we missing because it's not working? And kids don't always have these perspectives in their junior year.
And I love the fact that we exposed the punch in the gut science and math courses, right? Like, because calculus definitely is. I avoided calculus. I never took calculus. I know my son did. He got punched in the gut. Chemistry was a punch in the gut for me. So I do remember that. But like, you know, here's an interesting thing that I kind of took from that is when we were talking about the cores, right? You know, when we asked, were you good at math? Did you even care? And he's like, yeah, I was good at math. Like, he's good at math. Does he want to be an engineer? You know, like the traditional sense, oh, you're good at math, you know, or you figured this out. So I think we categorize kids a lot, a little too much when we get into that. And that's what I was reading from that is, I think in a better world, okay, for Patrick, let's just use his example since we're kind of reviewing, his thought process in what he wants to do in physical therapy and his why of helping people should have in a system that really is working, like you're saying, you're flipping it. Now, how can we take math and say, okay, all right, so now how do we use this in physical therapy, or how do we use this with helping a human being? Like, because that's your passion, right? I think too often we just like, okay, well, you're good at math, you're going to go here. You're good at STEM, you're going to go here. And students are like, yeah, I'm good at it, but I still don't have my why, like you're talking about, right? I don't have my purpose yet. So I think it's okay just to experience. However, I'm all about logging that journey. So why are we not doing more of that? And again, this is my portfolio kind of look on things, but you know, for him, he was able to really understand, you know, he got injured himself. He saw how people helped him. He saw how the body worked. He works with people. Like, literally, he works in a dining hall. He doesn't do physical therapy with the elderly. He is getting another job, he was saying, in physical therapy over the summer. So he's making a move on that. But like, how can we attach the things that maybe you are, you guess what? You can be good at math, science, English, history, or whatever, and it can attach this to you. I think that's a big piece to where we can improve. I think that area, like you said, just flipping it around.
It's interesting also to kind of my evolution per se as an educator, because I taught at Bard College this past January, and it's a very arts music school. Most of the students there, oh man, they're the most creative students. I personally, it's like a collection of like, think of the most artsy, outgoing, you know, either into film, photography, music, drama, any of the above. That is why people go to this college, not because they love math and science. For the most part, they avoid it like the plague. Okay, and the course that I did teach and will teach again because I really did enjoy it, is on science literacy. It's called Citizen Science. Well, what was so cool about, and what I think Bard College does phenomenally well, is they allow the access point for science to be rooted in student interest and passion. There's opportunities in the curriculum for students to apply what they are learning directly to their own purpose and passion, and it's designed to be that way. And I loved that because guess how much connection the kids had with the curriculum? It was palpable. The kids were like, wait, you're telling me I can create an artistic piece in the medium that I want to apply the knowledge that I have done? Yes, please. Like it, and that is, think about that in the high school level, right? This idea of Patrick like diving deeper into math that would be directly related to something that he's interested in is going to make the math math. It's gonna make it make more sense. And it's not that much different than how you would probably be teaching it anyway. It's at now being on the outside as a from one being in a traditional chemistry classroom, I can so see how and why so many students enjoyed my class because it and it's not this is not self-serving, but it's because I would make those connections to student interest. But I could do it so much better even now, having that break. And I know this next year teaching at Bard, I'll be able to even expand upon that kind of finding the purpose first. And the kids will jump and move mountains when they have that. And I think a time investment, and I don't remember who we talked to as a guest, but one of the either guests, they were in high school or had gone to a high school where they had some kind of course in high school that was about like careers and interest, and it was wide. I wish I could remember who, and I don't even know if it was an aired conversation, but again, it was all centered around like, what are you interested in? How does that connect? Because then you'd be really interested in history and in English and math and science, and those could be. Again, I know me and you, we're like, just create a different model than this traditional system, but it could still work. You could still check your boxes. If you're an administrator, if you're a superintendent, if you're, in policy and all of this stuff, like there, people want to learn and they don't need a 50-minute class and a bell to signal the beginning and the end of that for that to happen.
Yeah, that was one question that I missed asking, was what was the structure of school? It was just so much in there already. But yeah, I think you're exactly right, around just digging in. Like, I think the technology is there. I think that the automation is there. I think that the professionalism in education is there. I just think the structure needs to be changed slightly to where we do, try to grab students where they are and really like where they are, and then have them kind of not like it's so I try to avoid these at all times, like the generic tests of a career, right? Because they're so outdated. There's a few out there that are good, but and it's like I'm gonna go all the way back to Rubin's, one where it's skills based, like what are you good at, and then what are you interested in, right? Because you can be good at something and just not be interested in it at all, right?
Totally.
So so I think like we really need to start focusing more there. Because I mean, like I just go back to Patrick, he's good at figuring out what he did and didn't do because he can take accountability in a calculus course because he has the results, but that's a skill he has. But then how can we attach that skill to something he's passionate about? Like identifying that and just really having these really humanistic conversations, the one-to-one conversations and different things like that. And I mean, we're getting there. There's weird, we can go in down this rabbit hole of control and education because we know there's that. We talked even when we went through Papello, we were talking about all the, some of the curriculum that's bought in and you have to use it and all this stuff. And there's a lot of these pieces. But again, I know I'm skewed because I look at this as a business educator and I've been in business before, is what does the client need and want, and where do we need to get the client, and let's put them together. It's not like you're the client, you need to get here, we're going to shove you over here, right? You will never sell a product or service by shoving your client into a place that they don't want to be. I mean, and I think that's one of the things that I also heard this quote, and I don't know where this quote came from. It was a friend will not always be will hardly ever be a client, but a client will always can become a friend if you treat them well, right? Like, so you think about students that way, and that's just kind of a 10,000 foot view on what you're describing there. Because I really think, in all of this, there is self-reflection, accountability. And I love the way that he said, Patrick said, like, you really can't, I mean, can you really blame the teacher? Unless the teacher is intentionally blocking you or doing a power grab, which I'm not going to say doesn't happen because it happens, and I don't want to give excuses, but I'd say for the most part, most educators, 95% plus, are there to really help you. And if you really want to, just put yourself out there, then that might open up different ways. But I think Patrick put that excellently. I like the way that you're looking at this, like, putting the skills and then the passion and then attaching it. I think we have the flexibility, and I think we have the technology, and I think we have the people to do it. We just need to do it.
Just need to do it. And we've talked about this before that, like, you have to be okay with the messiness. It's not gonna be perfect when you make a shift. And then there's gonna be change is gonna bring on conflict. If you haven't listened to Gwen Hill's episode, that's a great one to, I think, kind of tie in with this topic with students, is that, they're so adaptable. And it's and if you look at like what they do outside of school, they do work. They're in clubs, they're part of different groups and organizations. They're used to different structures that don't look like school. And people who can flourish in a non-traditional school model, they exist already. It's fine if you decide to do something different and it's doesn't look how it always has and it's not perfect and all of these things that kids seem so, for the most part, resilient and it's part of their own growth journey of like failure, so to speak. I love that he doesn't even really see it as failure. He's like, I failed to get better and I got a 4 on the AP test anyway. It didn't even matter. Those tests don't matter because they don't. So it's like, okay, so you try something and you quote unquote it isn't successful right away and you learn more from that process anyway. So I love how you said 10,000 foot view because I go up to 10,000 feet quite a bit. Funny that you said that. Okay, but do people know this is a little bit of a tangent, but you asked me, about my fear from hanging on the strut. Have we talked about how you've done that too?
Yes, I think. I don't know if we talked about it here. I static lined. I never free falled. I'm not even tandem. I think that's going to be on my list somewhere, although my life insurance people will probably be angry with me if I did that. But so I did static line, which means, for those who don't know, the plane pulls your parachute. So if you ever see like the army guys jumping out or whatever, there it pulls your parachute. I remember there were two people, there were four people in the plane that were jumping, six overall, the instructor and the pilot. And they weigh you. So I think it was the heaviest person goes first, I believe. And it was funny because me and my college roommate, we were about the same size, but they put him first. I'm like, haha. I remember actually making that joke in the plane. And then he went, and then I remember getting kind of out there, and then the adrenaline took over. And I'll be honest, I do not remember anything until the chute opened. And I remember looking up, and it wasn't tangled. I mean, it was twisted once or twice, you know, but it wasn't right because we went through 6 hours of training. And so I did what you need to do. And I don't even remember what you need to do to get it, you know, so where it's correct. So there's no tangles. And when I say tangle, it's not like I was falling like you see on the videos. I mean, it was just twisted. And then flying the thing, I remember the entire way down, and I absolutely loved it. Like flying the chute is that what you call it? Flying the chute? So it was flying fantastic. Parachute, yeah. But I remember in the moment, Ellie, there's a picture of me somewhere. I had to find it of me on the strut because the guy was taking pictures. I don't remember a thing. I do not remember a thing. They told me I brought my knees up. So I actually failed the jump. Like I didn't like arch my back like you're supposed to. My knees came up. I think I just balled up, and maybe that's why my shoe twisted a couple times. I don't know. But yeah, if he didn't say that, I would taking a picture.
No recollection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it was amazing. Like you get on the ground and like you said, those adrenaline rushes, you're just like, you're like on top of the world. And I want people to feel that in education. I love the fact that we've both kind of had this analogy. You're way more beyond me jumping onto planes, but like it is kind of that common moment of I did that, right? And he did that. Patrick did that in entrepreneurship class as well. Like he took a risk and it worked. Not the first one, not the second one, but he kept going with that. So for me, I think the takeaway for going into this school year from the Patrick episode here is to really like just try to give students that opportunity as much as possible. I like how Patrick said the kids are going to have to take accountability for themselves. They're going to have to make the choice, but to show them, fail or not, the excitement that comes from it regardless. And I think that's going to take me into the 23-24 school year.
It's such a great energy. You should almost like take a couple of his quotes, because he said, you know, like on day one, you talked about like, look, either do the work or get out. Like, I don't care. but that resonated with with them. And it's like students are not going to remember like your syllabus on day one. They're gonna remember like these life lessons. I used to do a pretty dramatic day one of I would eat fire. We'll just leave it at
nice.
That. Called the discrepant event in science, I still have students asking me about it, talking about it. And you know, the bigger lesson is that like you don't know what you don't know. This class is going to open your mind to things that you don't know and understand. And being open to that is the biggest key to success. And I think I'm not advocating that teachers, you know, do these wild performances and whatnot, but just thinking about ways that you can engage students with bringing the outside, purpose finding, talking about, you know, ways that you have, why you're passionate about what you do. I mean, that's the number one feedback I would get as an educator, is that like, you really, you know, kids would tell me all the time, you just love being here. You're so passionate about chemistry. And that makes me want to learn chemistry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just getting excited about it. That's palpable. Like I could feel the excitement from Patrick for just life. And it stems from a larger vision that he found. And if school focused on that, the rest of the dominoes would fall in line. They would. It's not, you know, some standard 1A 32 section B, whatever that is. It's just not.
I like, you know, yeah. And my final, you know, kind of thought on this is the direction. Like you said, when you have that direction, like you tried this jumping out of planes, but you still had the direction of that you wanted to become certified. So What are your final thoughts?
Final thoughts, and it's how Patrick started the episode, is that change is good. Mm-hmm. And it is. And it's like not something to be feared. And if you are fearful, go jump out of a plane, because that's actually terrifying.
You may or may not remember climbing out of the plane. But yeah, so yes, I love that. I love this last episode. If you haven't heard it, go back a week. Patrick Kowalczyk, we are in our series with some students here, both past and previous. I know we've had students on before. They just bring energy, and I love it. So this is a great series, and I will tell you, this is a great series to finally do with a co-host. It's amazing, like you. So thank you, Allie, for that as well. Yeah, and thank you all for listening. For Allie Privet, I'm Peter Hostrasser. We'll catch you next time on the Disrupt Education Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode of the Disrupt Education Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss an episode.
Are you ready to disrupt the educational arena you're a part of? For more ways to get involved in the work we do here at Disrupt Education, check us out at disrupteducation.co or find us on LinkedIn at Peter Hostrasser or Allie Privet.
Our mission here is to help facilitate and amplify changes in the educational system through local initiatives and help you scale them into community movements. Our building network of disruptors in education are working to move beyond scores and grades as the only measure for student learning. If your school district, college, campus, or organization is looking for facilitators of this work, reach out on our website or social media.
And if you have any thoughts or feedback on this week's episode or any episode, we'd love to hear from you. Until next time, keep pushing the boundaries, taking risks, and most importantly, disrupting education.